Gotta have this little separation. Now let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Let's talk a little Texas basketball. Maybe we'll get into some Big 12 and national college basketball too. While we have on Kevin Flaherty, he is on Twitter at kflaherty247. He's the 24/7 Sports national college basketball writer. Kevin does a little bit of everything at 24/7 Sports. Very valuable member of the team over there. Kevin, we greeted you with dueling banjos, so I hope that was a proper introduction.
Wasn't my choice, Kevin, just saying. You know,
I think if you get to choose your intro music, it's not probably what most people would pick if you get to to pick the walk-up music, like baseball players get.
Yeah, if you wanted, you wanted Welcome to the Jungle, you get Dueling Banjos. It's just such is life sometimes. Kevin, life is pretty good for Chris Beard and this Texas basketball staff. They get Trey Mitchell. This is a recruitment that gradually weaved its way into working out for Texas. In your mind, Kevin, when you sit down to do, and I know the morning after the national championship game, you have your way too early top. For 2022 is a top 22, and then a couple of honorable mentions. As you start to think about those kind of lists and early top 25s, all the moves Chris Beard has made, where do you put Texas in that pecking order?
I think Texas is probably somewhere around 15 to 20 right now, and I know some people are going to have them higher than that. I do think the roster has top 10 upside. The thing that makes me just a little bit more cautious with regard to Texas is I think one of the things that we've seen historically, sort of since we've had access to these immediately eligible transfers and graduate transfers, is that guys usually, when they come in to be stars, aren't typically quite as good at their new stop as they were at their previous stop. And when you look at guys like, Reed Travis coming from Stanford to Kentucky was picked as, a preseason first team All-American all over the place. Wound up being Kentucky's, third option, maybe fourth option. He was still a good player, but wasn't the same guy that he was at Stanford. He saw the same exact thing at Florida when they landed Kerry Blackshear. And a lot of people said with the way Blackshear finished up at Virginia Tech, this is a guy who is going to come in and be a first-team All-American, made a lot of those preseason teams, and he was merely very good at Florida. And so what makes me hesitant with Texas sort of tying that all in is I think when you look at Texas as a top-10 team and say this is the scenario and kind of circle it, I think you want Timmy Allen to be what he was at Utah. And I think with so many transfers in the portal, we are going to start to see some guys have that level of success that they had at their previous stops when they do, go to a new place and do become a star. But I think that's maybe the one thing that makes me a little bit hesitant about Texas is I think when you want Texas to be a top 10 team, you're really asking some of those transfers to be just as good, if not better, in starring type roles, in Austin. And that's just something that to this date, I don't know that we've really seen that happen all that often.
Kevin, would it be safe to say that when folks evaluate Trey Mitchell's gifts, they talk about him being a scorer and a good angular body and all that kind of stuff, but that probably on one of the things that he can help his upside with is to probably become a little bit better rebounder?
Yeah, I think so. Craig, one of the things I do really love about this Texas team is the variety of big men that they have at their disposal. And I think, Mitchell's a guy that could certainly rebound a little bit better. I think Dylan Dissu probably rebounds a little bit better. I think when you look at Christian Bishop and what he played at Creighton, where he was really a small ball five, that's how teams are closing games out in the NBA right now, is having a really mobile, switchable guy who can go out there the final 5 minutes of a game and allow you to switch sort of everything on key defensive possessions. And so when you look at all of those guys together, is there room for each guy to maybe forward in a certain area? Yeah, sure. And I do wonder a little bit, I don't know that Texas is going to have the rim protection this next year that you saw with Jericho Sims and with all those long bodies of Kai Jones and with Greg Brown. But I do think that there's a versatility that they bring in, the ability to knock down outside shots, and the fact that Beard can kind of pick who he wants per different situations that does make that big man group, you know, arguably one of the better big man groups in the Big 12 this upcoming year.
24/7 Sports national college basketball writer Kevin Flaherty joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Kevin, let's go to that Texas backcourt. And, you know, the two new faces, Devin Askew coming over from Kentucky, Jalen Tyson, the four-star signee, signed with Texas Tech and ends up at Texas. But, you know, Kevin, you and I have had a lot of conversations over the last few years about these Texas guards, and the three still standing, Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey, and Jace Febres. If I feel like at the end of the day, you know, when you talk about the versatility of the front court and all the pieces that fit up there, I still feel like we're in this boat where, hey, the upside of this team is ultimately going to be in what do you get night in, night out from those three guards.
Sure, and I do think that some of that is mitigated a little bit by what Chris Beard runs offensively. I think when you've seen his motion offense sort of be at his best, he's had creators at multiple spots. You know, Jarrett Culver was not necessarily a prototypical point guard, but he was the guy that was really creating the most in that offense. And I think that's where Timmy Allen fits in, is he's somebody that can pass, that can find guys out of action, and it really helps to have players who can handle the ball and create it at multiple positions. Having said that, Texas needs to find a point guard, Jeff. And Devin Askew, you know, at Kentucky had kind of an up and down year. You know, there were some issues there. I think, you know, obviously he's a talented player, was a high level recruit. At the same time, I'm not entirely sure that Texas's best answer at that position might not be Courtney Ramey sliding over and you know, sort of handling that at the number one. And from what we've seen from Courtney Ramey, if he plays at his highest level more consistently, you know, that could be a plus in Texas's column. The other part, though, is if he struggles at that point guard spot, we could be sitting here, you know, talking, you know, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, and saying, hey, the reason Texas maybe isn't reaching its potential is Texas hasn't been as good at the guard spots as you need to be if you're going to be an elite college basketball team.
So you still see that as the need, whether it develops with Askew or whether somebody else comes in?
Sure, I do. I think Devin Askew, I think that some of the things that he brings maybe are even a better fit at the two at this point in time. I think this strength and conditioning session, Craig, is going to be so important for him, because I think that there were times last year, and it happens to a lot of freshmen, where he was just sort of athletically outclassed. And there were times when maybe the strength wasn't quite there as well. I thought he did a good job of battling through it. But at the same time, if you're looking right now and you're projecting this Texas team to be a Sweet 16 team, an Elite 8 team, I do think that the point guard spot for Texas is going to need to elevate from sort of where we're looking at it right now in June.
Kevin, let's talk about the Big 12, and you look at the moves that other teams around the league are making. If you had to handicap this conference, where would you put Texas in the pecking order in the Big 12 right now? And who, in your opinion, you know, as we draw closer to the season, is going to be the preseason favorite to win this league?
Because this is the first time we've ever been able to have this discussion and talk about a defending national champion coming from the Big 12.
Sure. It's wild. And maybe the crazier thing, Craig, is you look at it, I think, you know, the stat is out of the last five NCAA tournaments, the Big 12 has produced four Final Four teams, and they're four different teams. And so you look at, you know, Oklahoma went with Buddy Hield, you know, a year or two after that, you had Kansas with Devontae Graham and that bunch. The very next year, you had Chris Beard's Texas Tech team making it to the national title game. You skip an NCAA tournament, and then Baylor wins it all. And so when you look at that, you know, I think the conference has shown that it's capable of producing sort of these Final Four contenders, if not outright national title contenders, from multiple spots. Whereas if you were to teleport back to just even say 2015, I don't know that you would have really seen that. You would have probably said, okay, if the Big 12 is going to have somebody, it's going to be Kansas. And, you know, that hasn't necessarily been the way that it's worked out. I do think Kansas has had a really big offseason. Bill Self, after they lost USC, and it was Kansas's worst loss in Kansas basketball history in terms of an NCAA tournament loss. Self sat there in the post game and basically said, we've got to get bigger, we've got to get longer, and we've got to get a lot more athletic. And I think they really did that with a lot of their additions. While at the same time, if the guys projected to come back do come back, Kansas is going to bring back four starters from a team that was second in the Big 12 last year and have these new additions like Remy Martin from Arizona State. You know, Joseph Yusufu is a really explosive guard from out of Creighton. They landed a lot of big men, both, you know, they landed a transfer or two and brought in some guys through recruiting. So I think if I were, you know, handicapping it right now, I think I'd put Kansas somewhere around a top five team, Baylor probably somewhere around a top eight to top 10 team. You know, I think, yes, Baylor looks like it's going to lose quite a bit. But I think Matthew Meyer has been a guy that across the Big 12, we've watched this guy the last couple of years and felt like his star turn was sort of coming. And if he returns to school like is expected, I think he has a chance to be an all Big 12 guy. You know, Adam Flagler steps up after being such a good sixth man for them last year. They add James Akinjo, the transfer from Arizona, and they land, you know, one of Scott Drew's best recruiting classes, including one that brings in a five-star wing in Kendall Brown. And so I'd put Baylor sort of in that range. And then I think you're talking about Texas at number three. Now, initially I was thinking West Virginia higher, and I had West Virginia higher sort of in my early rankings. But with West Virginia losing Derek Culver, I think there's a very real question mark about what they're going to do in the post in Morgantown. And I think that even if Deuce McBride does return, and they think there's a pretty solid chance that he will, I have a hard time seeing them being able to compete in the post with the teams that we're just talking about in Kansas and Baylor and Texas.
You can get him on Twitter at KFlaherty247. Get his work at 247 Sports. Kevin Flaherty, he is the national college basketball writer for 247 Sports. You can also see some of his work pop up from time to time at CBS Sports. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. I promise next time we will bring you in with something other than dueling banjos.
Yeah, it'll be something uplifting.
Sorry,
hopefully,
Kevin.
Yeah,
and hey, look, last time you were in town, you know, we had a really good lunch. You and your wife and I had a really good lunch at Terry Black. So next time you're in town, we'll have to hit somewhere else on the barbecue scene next time you're down here.
Hey, sounds great. You know, I'm always down for some good barbecue as long as it's not out in rural nowhere and there are banjos around the corner, because that's going to make you, you know, have to look around your shoulder a little bit and make sure you're doing okay.
Point taken. Point taken. Duly noted there. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.